You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
It's the Scotsman. This is Brian Priest, joined as always by Utah State Aggie super fan Hu Tran. You are a super fan,
yeah,
right?
I'm a super fan. I mean, probably I'm one of the two super fans in the KSL TV side of teams.
I'll give you that. Yes. Well, you and Matt Glade, the former host of the Scotsman. We're talking a local legend in Matt Glade.
Milking those cows.
Oh, man. So one time, funny story, it just reminds me of it when you talk about milking the cows. Years and years ago, this was probably late 90s, early 2000s, like the Spencer Nelson era,
right,
at Utah State. And they were still in the Big West at the time. This probably was after Stu Morrill had started coaching here, but not long after. And so it's the Big West. You know, you're going to Southern California, a lot of these really tiny gyms. You know, we're talking 2,000 people. Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo.
Cal State, yes.
Those types of schools.
Yep.
And we were, my friend at the time had one of those giant satellite dishes. This is when satellite first came out. They weren't even on your home. They weren't attached to your roof. It was a giant dish out in the yard by the shed.
Yes.
It had to move. It was the wildest thing. But because they had this satellite dish, we were able to pick up a local California feed of one of these random Big West schools and watch Utah State basketball with these local broadcasters, and they were talking about Utah State and what an intimidating environment going up to Logan and playing in the Spectrum can be.
Right.
And they specifically referenced the fans doing that imitation of a man jogging.
so really good jogging pace. I don't know what marathon you're going to win jogging with these arms here, folks.
Hey, you're moving. It might not be aerodynamic, right, but I guess a man jogging, milking a cow, they're similar.
I think I told a story a couple weeks ago, how Reggie Theus, when he coached, this is when Utah played New Mexico State,
mm-hmm,
when they were in
mm-hmm.
the WAC, right?
Yes.
Reggie Theus was the coach of New Mexico State Aggies, and we interviewed him, and he said stuff like, this is a very coordinated group. And that's what makes the Utah State environment very intimidating, because it's not huge. It's not
huge. Reggie Theus can speak to the coordination of the student section,
right.
Personally.
Yeah, so Reggie. But they're so coordinated, and they do it in what was the first time you did the Scotsman? You went up there, right?
I grew up in Logan,
right,
so I was doing the Scotsman at 7 years old.
Okay,
my parents would take me up to the game and drop me off, and I'd just find my way down to the court.
I'm trying to remember my first time just going to I'm pretty sure it wasn't a football game. I'm pretty sure I went to a basketball game just because, again, you're in Logan. It's a random Thursday night, and it's what you do. And so I went with
you
a
didn't
bunch
have
of friends.
Homework.
Sure, yeah.
Who? Do we need to discuss your GPA?
We don't do homework anymore, folks, and it's not healthy for you. But, yeah, you go to a game, and you copy. I'm like, well, what is everybody doing? You feel silly when you first do it.
It does seem kind of ridiculous.
The thing is, everybody's doing it. So, all right, cool. The mob mentality makes it. And then you're just yep. And when you see everybody else do it, you'll see it on TV. They'll show, when Utah State is good and they're in the March Madness tournament, and you have a bad bracket busters. They'll show student sections do that. So it's fun. You're just this is really weird, but okay. So you just, and then it just becomes second nature.
it's a strange thing to observe, but like, yeah, like you said, it becomes second nature if you're a Utah State fan going to games. Mm-hmm. If you're a student and you're up there, it's that mob mentality, and you just get used to it. You jump into it, and in basketball games, this doesn't matter quite as much. But like, if you go to a football game in early November in Logan, sometimes doing the Scotsman is just a nice warm up activity. It gets so cold there, but you know, the Scotsman, one of those things Aggie fans didn't have a lot of chances to do at the First Responders Bowl down in Dallas. So, let's get started with that football game. Yeah. A 38-10 beatdown.
You know, we talked about this last week, and I can't remember if we talked this on or off air, but I was like, bowl games, like, do they really matter? you had mentioned, like, you know, what really mattered was the extra, you know, few weeks of practice and just some being with the team. You know, this is sort of like the NIL of bowl games. Like, if you win, it's really nice. Like,
your
fans are happy. But if you lose, nobody's going. I don't know if there's a lot of Utah State fans. I follow a few on Twitter that were like, disappointed that they lost a championship game. Like,
well, we're recording here Thursday afternoon, about 48 hours after the game. And I follow a lot of Aggie fans and people related to Utah State on Twitter as well. And I haven't seen a lot of people complaining and you know, really down in the dumps over it.
You lose the game, you get over it. These bowl games after Christmas, like, I'm just like, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
You're still recovering from Christmas. I mean, I was at my other job. At work when the game was going on, so I didn't get to see all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, I mean, they lost by 28. That is what it is. But I mean, hey, but overall, you know, with the bar that the Utah State Aggies set at the beginning of the year, successful season. You know, you lost your last game, but getting to that game was impressive.
When you open the year 1-5, 1-6, yeah. And you make a bowl game. Yeah. You're happy with that.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. The takeaway that I had from this bowl game is it's not the outcome. It was watching that team, how many young players were on the field, how many returning players were on the field.
Hurt the game again. Like, the guy that took over for, you know, the starting quarterback, Logan Bonner, at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got hurt. Cooper Legault got hurt. I mean, you wrote the article. You can find it on KSLSports.com.
Hey, company man, folks, company man.
But yeah, like there was a game where, all their quarterbacks went down. Logan Bonner had already gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Legault, Levi Williams, the transfer, like, you know, some of us thought that he might take the starting job at the beginning of the year. He never really got off the bench this year, you know, due to injury. So, really, really sad. Like, I'm like, oh, but hey, you know, Cooper Legault goes down again, and the Aggies have to face a lot of injuries this year. So.
Yeah, and that was really the story of the entire season, was injury. So you talked about the issues at quarterback. You lose a couple of your defensive tackles. There were issues at linebacker. MJ Tafisi went out mid-season and missed a few games. That was a big loss. The secondary, there were two or three guys out every single week, it seemed. In the last couple weeks of the year, they played without Ike Larson, their standout redshirt freshman. But this was
All
a team that college football news,
yeah,
All-American, right. I believe, is what Ike was named, the second team. But so you were just playing behind the eight ball all season long. And so, like I say, the fact that you made it to a bowl game, no matter what the outcome was, you can kind of hang your hat on that. And then you start looking at the positives. And like I say, all that youth, you know. So I've got the box score here in front of me. And just looking at the skill position players, Cooper Legault, Bishop Davenport, and Levi Williams, three names that you just said, all attempted passes in that game. They are all expected to return next season, as well as you've got, we'll talk about the National Signing Day, but freshman McKay Hillstead is going to be coming in.
That's
you've
big.
Got...
McKay Hillstead had a huge year in high school sports for Utah this year.
Yeah, so. And well, he's been starting for one of the best programs in the state since he was a sophomore.
Yeah.
So he's going to come in with a ton of experience. You've got...
He won the state championship this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean... It's a state champion coming in.
And then another name who didn't play at all this year, another quarterback that fans from Utah might recognize the name of, is Chase Tuatagaloa. out of Orem High. He redshirted this season. So you've got a lot of youth. You've got the guys who ran the ball this year, Terrell Vaughn, or ran the ball against Memphis, Terrell Vaughn taking carries. You've got Jordan Wilmore out of the backfield, got a couple carries. More than likely Robert Briggs was a freshman this year. He's
Robert
likely
Briggs
to return.
He had the early game where like he had that like huge early game.
I was looking through his stats this year. He had three or four games where when he got double figure carries, he was really effective.
Like,
when
whoa.
He wasn't getting used, obviously it was different. You know, if he was just getting a carry here and there, he seemed to have a hard time really getting himself ingratiated into the game.
That was a big difference between last year and this year. I think the rushing attack,
mm-hmm.
Even though they had a lot of, like, Calvin Tyler, right? Came back, and he had a great year too. But one of his early games for the Aggies had like 100 yards. And like, whoa, this freshman's coming out, like, this guy could be in. And he's coming back, so that's great. So after a solid year this year.
Yeah, excited about Briggs coming back, and you're going to want to look for some depth at the running back position, absolutely. Couple big losses so far to the transfer portal for Utah State. Defensive end Daniel Greshick entered the transfer portal, I believe it was earlier today. He announced that he would be doing that as a grad senior transfer. So led the team with 8.5 sacks. That'll be a big loss.
Yeah.
And then also another one that I personally didn't expect but makes a lot of sense to me, especially with the new NIL rules. And basically it's the Old West. If you have money, you can pay for guys.
Mm-hmm.
Former Bingham graduate Waylon Lapuaho is entering the transfer portal. So that's a kid who, true freshman for Utah State, started all 13 games on the offensive line, and entering the transfer portal, of course, it's not guaranteed that he's going to leave,
right,
but likely.
Yeah.
And, you know, 13 starts along the offensive line as a true freshman, you would imagine somebody's got a check if Waylon's interested.
So, I mean, that's and Hunter is entering then.
Hunter Reynolds is graduating.
Right.
He'll be entering the draft.
Yep. So, declaring for the draft, I should say. We do declare.
you just had to,
yes.
Right?
I declare the NFL draft. as you said, so a bunch of young guys coming back. We have some National Signing Days guys coming in that we talked about already. The transfer portal giveth and taketh away, right?
Yep,
so
absolutely.
Hopefully, when the summer comes along, we'll get some more players at Utah State that come through. I mean, Levi Williams, again, came through the transfer portal last year.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, and there's always talent. There's always talent out there. You just have to go out there and find it, and you have to convince them to come into Logan is worthwhile. I would expect with this Aggie team, 23 players committed on National Signing Day in mid-December. 11 high school kids, 10 junior college transfers, and 2 4-year transfers. Just guys all over the roster. So we'll see what kind of contribution the freshmen will have for us next year. But I would expect, as I'm looking at this roster, as I talk about all the experience coming back next year, one position group where it really stands out that they're going to need to bring in some supplement and make some changes is that offensive line, especially with the loss of Lapuaho. Jacob South, I believe, has some eligibility and a couple of guys, but you're losing Alfred Edwards. You're at left tackle. You're losing Chandler Dolphin at center. You're losing Lapuaho. So the entire left side of your offensive line is gone. You've got a couple guys graduating. Wade Meacham, I think, might have some eligibility remaining.
The 2 years of Blake Anderson teams that we see, you obviously want to give your quarterback time, but you also want to be able to create those running lanes for those running backs that we talked about. And so get that running game going opens up a lot for, the way the Aggies ended last year, they were running so effectively that it really opened up play action, a lot of other things to get these guys open. So, so hopefully, we've seen, surprisingly, 2 years ago, Blake Anderson bring in some guys that were really impressive. So if that staff can continue to find these diamonds in the rough, you're not going to get those 5-star, 4-star guys, but you can get guys who can really do a good enough job to make the team better.
Well, one guy I mentioned earlier today, MJ Tafisi, is I believe he went to Davis High, but he started his college career at Washington as a Husky. Spent 2 or 3 years up at Washington before transferring to Utah State, and he was the team's leading tackler before going down with an injury. I think that was also the Colorado State game where we lost all our quarterbacks as well. That was a tough trip, that one, in Colorado State. Yeah, so
they ended up winning that game, but it came at a cost.
It did come at a cost. A few locals in the NFL as we move on from.
Real quick, though, as we were talking about the Scotsman, you know, pregame.
Yeah.
Did you see that that Utah State used a Texas band?
I did see that.
Cedar High Band.
Yeah.
So
they learned two or three Utah State
the fight
songs.
They learned the Scotsman. And
apparently
they
did a halftime performance, too. And I heard from, you know, just looking on social media, some people who were at the game really complimented this high school band. Said they learned the songs. They sounded great. And I wish I had the name of that Texas high school band.
Cedar, I'll look it up real quick. It's like Cedar High, but I retweeted it, but it's Who Trans Superman. That's HUUTRN Superman.
You're looking that up. I'll go over these locals in the NFL. Devin Tompkins plays in his third game. Not a lot on offense, just 4 snaps, but takes 13 special team snaps, returns 3 kicks for 68 yards and 1 punt for another 14 yards in a Bucs win. Dallin Leavitt, a safety for the Green Bay Packers, had 20 special team snaps and finished with 2 tackles in a Packers win over Miami as Green Bay tries to make a late season playoff push. And then long snapper Patrick Scales, playing on special teams with the Chicago Bears, but you can't talk about locals in the NFL from Utah State without mentioning Bobby Wagner, 11th NFL season, the man against my Denver Broncos. I wish we didn't have to talk about it because that was not a very fun game. 51-14. The Rams might be one of the worst teams in the NFL, and they beat the Broncos by 37.
They whooped them, man.
Move on. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Like, when you talk about Devin Tompkins, So this week, but last week had his catch, had a sweep run, like his role expanding. Like, right, cool. So we talked about like a chance for him not only just to return kicks and punts, but and he got some offensive play. So, you know, it's not gonna be every week. You know, he's a smaller guy, and the Bucs are still looking to get first
playoff
place
contention.
Playoff contention and first in the division. So. Mm-hmm.
Does first in the NFC South count?
That band was Cedar Hill Band. They're on Twitter at Red Army Band, CHHS. Cedar Hill Band. Thank you for playing the
Cedar
playing
Hill
the
High School. The Scotsman. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
And then Bobby Wagner, picking off his former teammate, Russell Wilson.
Mm. A lot of things we could say about Russ Wilson right now.
Still, more bathroom than the TDs, Russell Wilson. Bobby Wagner, we talked about just a few weeks ago how, you know, he chose to go to L.A. L.A., in the past. L.A., you know, not going anywhere, but Bobby Wagner still shows that he's got a few years left, you know, leading the league, team in tackles and, that pick. I mean, I don't know where he's going to be next year, but still pretty impressive from Bobby Wagner.
I mean, Broncos need some linebacker.
Broncos need a lot of things.
Hey, let's move on to some Aggie basketball. Let's talk about the women's basketball team real quick. 3-8, Kayla Ard leading the squad in really what's amounting to a rebuilding season. Lost a lot of players coming in for her first year. They're 3-8 in non-conference. They've got 2 games. Actually, we're recording on Thursday. It is 4:30 right now. 2 hours from now, they'll be tipping off against Air Force at Air Force, and then San Diego State at home, 5 o'clock Saturday night. So right before you're thinking about getting ready for your New Year's Eve party, go to the basketball game instead, and then go out to your New Year's Eve party.
It's
Logan. There's not any good parties.
It's Mountain West. If you can just do well in your conference, you have a chance. So
And that's really the way I kind of look at this. The 3-8, you throw out that non-conference. You've had a little bit of time, a few days to practice, come together as as a group and figure out who you are and what you're going to be this year. And maybe you make a run in the conference regular season, and who knows where it goes from here.
Go look at Utah and see what they did in the last few years.
Yeah,
and see what
exactly.
They're at, right?
So, exactly.
The men's team is pretty interesting.
Men's team still looking really good. 11-2. They dropped a couple games since we last talked.
But they've still got some interesting wins, and a Diamond Head Classic. And,
yeah.
They're 11-2 out of conference, but before conference play starts, is really impressive.
Yeah, it's the best start since 1920, so it's not like we're going back too far when they were 10-2.
I mean, better than when they had Sam Merrill and Nemish Keita.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
It's funny, they lost their best player, Justin Bean, last year. And this is sort of like, connects with the football team, too, that they brought back a lot of guys.
Yes.
And so same thing with the football team, they're going to be bringing back a lot of guys next year, so that helps. They went and got the transfer Funk.
Taylor Funk. Out of St. Joseph's.
Yep. And so, with low expectations coming to the season, very, really impressive. And maybe that continuity has helped Ryan Odom, new coach Ryan Odom. Like, okay, cool. Now we've had a year under our belt. We knew, because last year they kind of ended the Mountain West tournament. They had a close game, but they still lost them very early in that tournament. So, to Colorado State.
I'll trust you.
Yeah. I was there. I was there. But, when you get older, your memory starts to fade. But, yeah, they lost early. They lost early in the tournament last year, but they looked like they had chances. So
I think what you could say about Utah State last season, and this is obviously a reflection of Ryan Odom and the coaching lineage, his father being such a great college coach for so many years.
LeVar?
No, I think it's a different Odom. This is a team that I think has coached really well.
Yes.
I just think, Ryan Odom, he knows what he has in his players. He puts them – he's one of those coaches that is able to put his players in the best position to succeed rather than I'm going to run my system.
Right.
And so Utah State has two very good point guards.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ashworth came off the bench against Wazoo, right?
Ashworth is actually starting.
Oh, so
Rylan Jones started the season, and then when he suffered a concussion, he missed three games, I believe it was.
So last game Rylan Jones started, right, against Wazoo?
Rylan Jones came back, but I don't think he started the game. I can look up the box score.
I wrote it wrong for TV. But anyway, Rylan Jones had a really good game coming back against Wazoo.
They did have him starting. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And Ashworth off the bench with three threes, three for three from deep. The Aggies had 11 threes that game. Just a really, they got down a little bit early, but they controlled most of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Against Wazoo, a Pac-12 opponent.
Yeah.
So I thought they're a pretty impressive win.
This is a good Utah State team, and really, only two losses. So. Hard to know a ton when their backs are up against the wall, but they've had some difficult games. They went to San Francisco, played a tough San Francisco team, Loyola Marymount in Vegas. They played San Diego in San Diego. That game ended up going to overtime. And this Utah State team, I think the best way that I can describe them is this is the absolute prototype of when shots fall, you're going to win games. This is a Utah State team that shoots a ton of threes. I actually had some really interesting stats as I was looking through and trying to figure out what helps make this team successful. But looking at Mountain West leaders, Utah State has attempted 338 threes, 34 more threes than the next most attempts in the Mountain West, which is Colorado State. They're shooting making 43.5% of their shots, which is almost 7% better than the next best team in the Mountain West.
Ryland Jones is a good player, but I don't know.
He's not a great shooter. Rylan Jones is much more of a facilitator, but if you leave him open, he's not afraid to shoot. He'll hit a shot.
Ashworth is leading the Mountain West in percentages.
We could go all night talking about Stephen Ashworth. The season that Stephen Ashworth is having is absolutely carrying Utah State right now.
Not that he wasn't a bad player before, but he's sort of taking
the Mountain West MLS leading scorer right now. He's averaging 17.4 points per game, I think, in four starts. Otherwise, he's been coming off of the bench. He is making the most threes per game. He is shooting the highest three-point percentage. You look at any shooting list in the Mountain West, and Steven Ashworth is in the top three. Right. He's been incredible this year in what he's been able to do. And, you know, with his, we'll say, physical limitations, he's a short dude.
Yeah.
But he can fill it
up.
This is where
like that good coaching you're talking about, Ryan Odom. Like, again, Steven Ashworth, like, oh, I'm leading the league in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But he came off the bench. He seemed fine with it. He still scored 11 points. He hit three threes against some Wazoo. Like, he did really well. Like, I mean, his last three it was a nice little deep dagger to put the game away.
I was like, oh man,
like he's making a rain. So
yeah, both he Ashworth and Taylor Funk have really really good range. We've seen Max Schulga pull up from super deep a few times this season, and this is live by the three, die by the three. That's what Utah State does against Weber State. When you lose 75-72, it was missed shots. Ice cold in the second half, and then the loss to SMU, another three-point loss, one possession game, and it was just poor shooting. That's what it comes down to for this Utah State team, and it could shift once you get into conference. Looking at some of the numbers defensively, there are questions about this team. They allow the most points in the Mountain West in non-conference play.
Shootouts.
But it could be a reflection of, well, the Aggies are scoring so many points and getting up and down so fast that other teams have more possessions and are able to score a little bit more. So we're going to learn a lot about this team as they get into Mountain West play. Fortunately for the could be fortunate, could be unfortunate with the idea that they're playing so well right now, but one of the nation's remaining undefeated teams, New Mexico, 13-0 right now. They're number 22 in the country, and we don't play them until February 1st.
Right.
So it's still better than a month until we play that New Mexico team. And so that would be, I think, one of the questions I would have for you. If you're Ryan Odom, put yourself in his shoes, would you rather play New Mexico State, get that toughest conference game out of the way right out of the shoe, or do you mind waiting for New Mexico?
I was like, New Mexico.
Sorry, New Mexico. But do you mind waiting a month and getting a few more games under your belt, playing in conference, and then you face them?
Another thing that sometimes you don't think about is that home court advantage gets much better in like the second week of January when the students come back.
True.
I know some people who went to the Weber State Utah State game. I was like, how was it? Because that was like the week after finals, and I know when I went to school there, you know, finals week for those basketball games, they weren't great, but you know, to their credit, I heard that it was a really good stadium.
You were back there when it was during that time. It was the Gosner's Classic, right?
Something, yeah.
They would have the Gosner's Something Classic maybe. And have Binghamton State and teams like that come in.
I lived close enough that when, you know, my last final, I was like, all right, well, I'm out, guys. Like, I go home. Like,
you were the students that left.
Yeah.
Thanks, who?
Yeah,
you are the person that you're about to criticize.
Well, it's a school, man. And it's fine. Like, I mean, that's things that, like, so school starts again for winter semester and, like, our spring semester and, like, January, I don't know, 10th or something like that. Once that team gets back in front of their home crowd, they're loud, they're ruckus, that really builds momentum.
Yes.
If you start going undefeated in conference, you know, the snowball picks up and the fans will start lining up, they'll start going, it'll be crazy, and that momentum can carry you. So I think that is a good getting yourself a month before facing presumably one of the best teams in the Mountain West Conference. So,
yeah, we both know that when a good team comes into the Spectrum, especially when it's a good Utah State team that they're playing against,
might be televised, right?
Right now it's scheduled to be on FS1, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that get moved to a larger Fox channel.
I remember even bracket busters, ESPN games, like late games, we're like, oh my god, this is gonna be on TV.
Those were fun.
We would go, man. Yeah, so I think that's good. So I got some tests. Like UNLV, they're not undefeated anymore, but they're still a pretty good team.
Well, let's look at the Mountain West, because as I was looking at the conference overall, there's seven teams with at least 10 wins in non-conference play. That's, and I, you know, I'm not looking around at all right, the other conferences in the country, but seven seems like a lot. So you've got, let's see, teams with 10-plus wins. Let's see. I have to read my notes. This is always the hard part. So Nevada, Utah State, UNLV all have 11. San Diego State, San Jose State, and Boise State all have 10. And then, of course, you've got New Mexico at 13-0. So this is a deep conference. And then there's a couple more teams with 9 wins.
Yeah, some of those teams are Star Wars. What am I trying to say? Some of those teams are, every year, they're good basketball teams. Like Boise State, mm-hmm. they'll have up and down years, but when they're good, they're good.
Yep.
Right? UNLV. I mean that
always
that,
have talent.
Right. Like that team. They really pride themselves on their basketball team. So.
Fresno State's a team, hit or miss. Sometimes mm-hmm. they'll have some really good talent.
So, yeah, like those teams can be really
good. San Diego State.
I mean, they're like Utah State. Utah State will have some down years.
Yeah.
But when they're good, they're a good team. So. Man, maybe this is a year that Mount West gets multiple teams in the tournament. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean the way it's shaping out, and it, you know, you always have kind of rose colored glasses when you're looking early in the year and you're thinking
start each other.
They're going to start beating up on themselves. Yeah, and there's always going to be an injury or two. You never know who it's going to be that goes down. Like for the Aggies, my concern is point guard depth. I think they've got really good depth and they can withstand an injury at nearly any position for a handful of games. But at point guard, you've got Ashworth and Ryland Jones. You have two starting point guards. But beyond that, you don't have another guy. Now, you can withstand the loss of Ryland Jones for 3 or 4 games because you have a host of guys on your roster that can handle the ball. But when teams start to key on that and they're trying to take away Max Shulga, you know, Shulga, who's got, I think, 3 double-doubles this year, 1 with points and rebounds, 2 with points and assists. When you start trying to take away some of the things that he's able to do because you're missing a guard, that's when it would get a lot more difficult. And so I think this is a team that absolutely has the potential to make some noise in the Mountain West. Yes. They can knock off any team in this conference, but like I said, live by the three, die by the three. They shoot way more threes than any other team in the conference, and they're better at it than anybody else. But those cold nights are going to happen.
Until they're not.
You lost to Weber State.
Yeah, that's a...
That is a team that's probably worse than anybody else in the Mountain West. And
right,
it's just... Live by the three, die by the three.
They had a halftime lead, and then it all went away. So.
I think that kind of the way I phrased it, looking at the notes here, was if you're not a fan of analytics basketball, you don't want to watch Utah State.
Right.
It's all about analytics and smart shots. Yeah,
that can work for the Mount West, and then hopefully that can translate into something longer term. But yeah, if they can get that ball moving, and before we go here, you know, we have basketball, but also Utah State Gymnastics starting up too. Like,
tell me about it.
You know, I mean, the Red Rocks are of course like the number one in the state, but last year, I mean, Utah State, SEU, BYU, all I think I'm dipping into the top 25 at some point in the year. So I think they still have Bree Clark on that team, so it'll be fun. I mean, the best of Utah is coming up in 2 weeks. I want to say 2 or 3 weeks. January 13th, maybe. So that's it. If you're into gymnastics, if you have young kids, young daughters that are interested in this.
Saturday, January 14th.
So it's January 14th at Maverick Center. Go watch the best of Utah. It's Utah State, BYU, SUU. It's a fun time. I'll tell you, those gymnastics meets can be super fun. So hopefully they get some love up there in Logan for Utah State Gymnastics, because that team's on the rise.
Yeah, so, that's a good gymnastics team. There's good gymnastics throughout the state of Utah. And so, yeah, that's something that Who and I will make sure that we're covering each week on The Scotsman. Who, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, it's at Who, HUUTRAN, Superman. That's Superman. You know how it goes. Where can they hit you up, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at bpreece24. That's at BPREECE24. I'm not nearly as witty on Twitter as you are.
Yeah, I just heard that Brian's pay is directly connected to five-star reviews, folks.
Oh, so, yes.
Drop a five. He needs to feed his family.
50-cent bonus every single five-star review is what I'm told. 50 cents per – I'm not sure if it's 50 cents per hour or if it's just a unit price.
I think it's per star.
Real quick, so Utah State women's basketball, they're going to be taking on tonight against Air Force at Air Force, and they come back home Saturday. San Diego State, 5 o'clock, and that game is going to be – after the men play Fresno State in the Spectrum on Saturday at noon.
I hope they. I hope that works out. Like hopefully the fans can kind of. I mean, it's a big gap.
They used to have a doubleheaders when they first restarted the women's program, and they would play the women's game at 5 o'clock, and then the men's game at 7:30, and have 30-minute gap, and so the fans from the women's game could stay for the men's game. They don't do that. I wish they would. It seems like it would make sense. I don't know. There's a reason I'm not in marketing. Yeah, check out our work, KSLSports.com. Brian Priest, Hu Tran, send them out.
Well, hey, we'll catch you guys later.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.